If you often feel trapped by other people's expectations or like you never get to do things just for you, this episode might change everything. A lot of us were raised with the same unspoken job description. You gotta hold it together, don't complain, and fix whatever's broken. We were taught to be tough when things are hard and to help everyone around us because that's what being a good person meant. That mindset eventually becomes your identity. And after a certain point in life, usually right around your 30s, from what I've seen with dozens of clients, it turns into a prison that most of us don't even know we're in. Today's episode is a little different, where you'll meet Casey, one of my coaching clients. She came in wanting to get tougher and better at handling pressure, but that wasn't actually what she needed. Her story is really common, so I asked Casey for permission to share our conversation in case it helps you. You're listening to This Is How You Think, the podcast that helps you upgrade your mindset. I'm your host, Jewel Kim. Let's dive in. When I first met Casey, I was struck by her because she's kind of a bundle of contradictions. She's obviously very smart and capable, and also a kind and sensitive soul. She's a problem solver, a fixer. Basically, she's the one you turn to when you need help. But despite being so generous and supportive, she's had a lot of people treat her not so great. When we started talking, this is where she went first.
That, well, I think I have a tough exterior. Apparently, I really don't like being yelled at or not being able to keep up with what people demand out of me. I didn't realize how much throughout my normal day that actually ends up, you know, happening. I guess I'm just so used to having so many people like demand stuff out of me, and not only that, but how they phrase things to me, that I've just gotten so used to being told what to do or being like yelled at that it just goes over me now without even really thinking about it. And it made me understand that it was actually hanging on to me a lot more than I thought it was. And how much it ties to the amount of hurt that I've kept going through my work career with.
I immediately felt a little uneasy because if you listen to what she's actually saying, people yell and she's gotten used to just taking it. And of course she doesn't like being yelled at, because who does? Casey later also says this.
As one of my friends puts it, you're so good at working that you don't even realize when you're sad.
Honestly, this hurt my heart. And unfortunately, this is a lot of people where we brush past our own emotions and we rarely stop to check in because we just keep pushing through and moving on. This reaction is pretty common. Many of us were raised to just take the hit, rise above, but also keep your head down at the same time, and above all else, do your mother frickin' work. By this point, she had mentioned tough a couple of times, so I asked what being tough means to her.
So being tough for me has always been, don't show anybody that you've been hurt or upset for most of your life. Because tough people always have an answer. They are always successful. And no matter what comes their way, they always have a smile.
This is when the alarm bells started going off for me. Not because toughness is necessarily bad, because we do need it to handle challenges and the hard stuff. And on the surface, she's describing mental toughness, which many of us interpret as suppressing your emotions pushing through hardship and performing under pressure, which sounds pretty good, and it's true that this mindset is sometimes useful. But what I see with a lot of people, especially my clients, is that there's no nuance, there's no limit. So what Casey is actually describing, if left unchecked, is starting to veer into toxic positivity, which is the person who's always saying, "I'm fine, just be happy," or toxic resilience, which says, "I can take anything, just keep going." Casey isn't the first client I've had who thinks this way. I've had other clients who took this to extremes and literally ended up in the hospital with a ruptured appendix or kidney infections because they kept telling themselves, "You know what? It's not so bad. I'm probably overreacting. I shouldn't complain when other people have it so much worse. I just need to push through." And as a woman, I can say from personal experience that this sounds familiar because this is how I was raised too. But I also think that this goes beyond being a woman because this mentality also holds true for a lot of immigrants and people of color. There's a certain cultural conditioning that tells us to keep pushing on, to never let them see you sweat and not rock the boat, because this is how you prove you belong. It's how many of us end up in the same place with Casey. And in our call, she started off by talking about work and then shifts over to talking about her family.
I've been the problem solver for my family and a lot of the work stuff in most of my life. And that was super, super tough because I saw the outcome of having my family go through bankruptcy because of student loans. I made a promise to myself that I would do what I could to try and, you know, fix what I could.
Now we start to see how Casey feeling bad for her family is where the boundaries start to blur. This is also the critical moment when she makes a decision to take on the fixer role.
I don't wait for somebody to go and tell me to do something and to go fix things. I usually just go and do it because that's how my family spoke to me growing up. Is that there wouldn't be anything super direct. It would be something like, you know, that my mom and my dad would go, "It'd be great if somebody did X." And then I would just go and do it. At work, I hear the same phrase a lot. It's like, "It'd be great if somebody could be able to do this." It's not the words, it's how people look at me and how they say it as they're talking to me that imply that it's like, this is my problem to fix.
I'm going to pause here and check in. How much of this sounds like you? Because I've heard a lot of people say the same exact thing. They have people around them who kind of expect them to just do things. So I asked Casey a simple question. How do you know where the line is? How do you evaluate what is and isn't yours to fix?
Most of the time I don't, because it's usually somebody in a person of power over me saying that. So I don't really have a perceived choice to be able to go and say it's mine to fix or not. Like, for example, they were all like, "You need to do this, you need to do this, update this." And even though I don't think it's appropriate, it's either that or the door. It's been very black and white like that. So I guess what I'm saying is that it would be nice if there was a choice. I just don't feel like I have one.
Now we're getting somewhere. See, what's interesting is that Casey is one of the most capable people I've ever met, but she feels like she has no choice. And I get it, power dynamics are real. But she's convinced that her situation is so absolute that she can't even have a conversation because she's worried she would lose her job. When this is how you think, you'll usually do anything to make it work, because what's really driving this is the need to stay safe. So of course you stay. Of course you overfunction, which is how you say yes to things that actually harm you because you're in survival mode. But the thing about survival mode is it turns you into everybody's shock absorber. You become the person who picks up every dropped ball, even if no one asked you to, who smooths over every conflict, and puts up with disrespect or other inappropriate behavior. Because that feels less dangerous than saying, nope, that's not okay. And it's even worse when the few times we do try to say no, people react in ways that make it unsafe for us.
When my parents moved, it was, oh, we don't have room for my middle sister to be with them. And they're like, oh, well, you can, you know, take care of her a little bit until we're settled on into a new place. And I initially told them no. And it made all three of them fairly bitterly unhappy with me. So therefore, it's left up to me to try to make it work and fix it.
It's hard to watch someone like Casey go through this. And just to make this super clear, it's not for me to say how anyone should live their lives. This would be a totally different scenario if Casey were happy with how things were going. But she isn't, which is why she's working with me. And from everything she's shared, it's clear that people treat her in a way that she doesn't enjoy. Which is why I introduced the concept that you teach people how to treat you.
I didn't know that was an option.
This is when I realized that what Casey calls toughness is actually self-abandonment. She's been so focused on keeping everyone else comfortable that she's pushed her own needs way down to the point where it's become automatic. That's why she keeps saying she doesn't have a choice. And if you're listening right now and you're anything like Casey, I'm about to say something that you might not like. This might trigger you, but hopefully you bear with me. Unless you're a child or a prisoner or a hostage, it's rarely the truth that we don't have a choice. See, what's really going on is that you don't like the other choices on the table. For example, let's say you have a crappy job, and yet you don't like having to find another job because it feels hard. Or you're afraid you can't get another one, or that the new one is somehow going to be worse than the one you already have. So you stay. You choose to stay stuck. And this holds true for our relationships with other people too.
I do want to be able to be happy. I do want to be able to maintain the relationships with, you know, people that I care about. I just, you know, having people hate me for it would be, I guess, the thing I wasn't ready to think about.
If you're like Casey and most people on this planet, you don't like having people angry at you, which is normal because it's super uncomfortable and stressful. But this is where I say, so what? I remember a long time ago where my sister wanted me to bring home tennis rackets for the holidays, all the way to frickin' Alabama. And I live in Washington State. So I said, no way. And she got pissed. She didn't talk to me for 2 weeks. Obviously, that didn't feel so good because we normally talked to each other every day. It was the same thing with my parents. When I dropped out of law school, my parents were so upset. My mom even called me human garbage, which was pretty awful, not gonna lie. Definitely not a period of my life that I ever want to relive again. But again, so what? See, in my book, people will tend to get mad at you if you don't do what they want. And that's probably going to happen every now and then. It's a natural reaction. And in the ideal world, hopefully the people around you would be a little bit more mature and not take it out on you like that. But in my experience, you know, this just isn't most people. So let's say the people do get mad at you. that doesn't mean you should give them what they want, especially if it's not right for you. The thing is, if we're really honest with ourselves, a lot of the chaos we experience with other people is of our own doing, because we have set the precedent that they will always get what they want from us, because we're so afraid of the fallout we think is coming. And here's the real truth. To some degree, we are all afraid of people leaving us. We are all afraid of being rejected or abandoned. That's a real thing. So we bend, we compromise, and we keep compromising on things we really shouldn't, which then starts to snowball. And guess what? People do not like change. So yeah, they probably will be upset if you start changing things, especially if it doesn't benefit them. Some of them will call you selfish. They'll try to manipulate you, or they'll maybe even exit your life. I have gone through this myself with my family and my friends. I call it the people pleaser purge, where when you finally start putting your foot down and speaking up for yourself, you end up letting go of certain relationships, and sometimes almost all of your relationships. Casey has spent her whole life avoiding this exact thing. So far in life, she's been so tough. She can handle being yelled at. She carries everyone's problems. And that tough mindset has honestly served her through school and work and with her family. It's helped her survive. But the problem is that being tough is all she has. When we're talking about surviving, that's fine. But if you want to move past surviving to thriving, it's not going to be enough. See, toughness alone is like having a car with only an accelerator. You can go fast, but you can't steer or stop. What Casey is missing is strength, which gives you the ability to choose when to say yes or when to say no and walk away. Strength is what lets you say, you know what, I think this isn't mine to fix. Strength gives you the courage to disappoint people when necessary, so that you can honor your own limits. In everyday life, the opportunities to practice being strong are in doing the things that you're most afraid of doing. It's having those difficult conversations and accepting that people will feel what they feel, even if they're not so happy with you. And yet still making the choices that align with the person you want to be, instead of just doing what feels easier in the moment. So if we apply this to Casey or to you, strength would mean being willing to disappoint people instead of betraying yourself. It's staying loyal to yourself because you know what's right for you, even when people try to tell you otherwise. Without strength, toughness alone becomes dangerous because it keeps you putting up with things that are actually hurting you. That's how you end up like the other women I mentioned earlier who landed in the hospital because they downplayed and dismissed very real symptoms. They were ignoring the hard evidence. This is why I say it's really important that you know your limits, because we all have them. So whenever I'm trying to figure out if I'm actually being tough or just willfully blind, this is the question I keep in my back pocket because it points me in the right direction. And it's actually two questions. So number one, is this the person I want to be? And number two, is this the example I want to set for children? How would you answer these questions? Especially number two, because we put up with a lot of bullshit for ourselves, but when it comes to our children, it's pretty clear what's not okay. That's the standard I want you to hold. Now, with Casey, as we've already seen, she's not just fixing things at work. She's doing it at home too. She wants stability. She wants her family to be okay. And of course, we all do. But the way Casey is going about helping people isn't sustainable for the long term, for herself or for them, because she's not actually helping anyone stand on their own feet. She's shielding them from the consequences of their own choices. And if there's anything I've learned in life so far, it's that people will always do exactly what you allow them to do. This is the part that always sounds mean, especially if you've been raised to be the good son or the good daughter, the helper, the peacemaker. But I'm not being mean, because it's basic human nature that if you remove every consequence from someone's life, you also remove their reasons to grow. And that holds true for your boss, your partner, your parents, your kids, and even your pets. So at the end of the day, you gotta be honest and ask yourself whether you're actually helping someone grow and become self-sufficient, or are you creating more dependency? And if it's the latter, I want you to literally think about, what if something happens to you? What would those people do? It's a real question, because you're not doing them any favors. So after all of this, here's where Casey landed.
While raw, it's helpful to hear this perspective. Like, I've just been so focused on trying to become considered good that I've really had no complete understanding of what's been happening around the world around me. Those are the things that I would be thinking about this upcoming week, is that I don't need to throw away the whole foundation of, you know, all the people and all the things that I've done, but rather begin to start to see some of the things that you're mentioning and understand how I'm seeing them happen in real time with things.
Casey's still figuring it out. She hasn't transformed overnight, but she is committing to awareness, which honestly, I love hearing, because that's how real change starts. She's not letting go of toughness. She's learning to pair it with strength so she can choose which battles are actually hers to fight. And as I'm saying this, I'm realizing something that might actually be the takeaway for this episode. So we want to be careful that we are using our toughness in the right way. And given a lot of the stories that I hear from clients and also just people in general, is that we tend to point our toughness in the wrong direction. We use it to put up with mistreatment and disrespect or even outright abuse, but that's not what we should be doing. See, a lot of the time, doing the right thing and staying true to yourself and your values is not easy, because it comes with real consequences that can be hard. That's when we need to be tough. Toughness is best when it's used in the service of doing the right thing, especially when it comes to who you are. So strength is what you want when you're making hard choices, and toughness is what you need for the aftermath of those hard choices. Now, right before we ended, I told Casey something that I want you to hear too. This only feels hard because you haven't developed your strength muscles yet. You've got plenty of endurance. But when it comes to boundaries and disappointing people and having hard conversations, these are different muscles. And like any muscle, the more you use it, the stronger it gets. The first time is always the hardest, but I promise it does get easier. So if you're listening to this and you recognize parts of yourself in Casey's story, I want you to sit with one question this week. What would you do differently if disappointing someone wasn't the worst thing in the world? It might be a project at work that everyone just decided you would own. It might be the emotional health of a parent, a sibling, or a partner. It might be this belief that it's your job to keep everybody happy so nothing falls apart. Just notice it and name it. You don't have to blow up your life tomorrow. You definitely don't have to kick anyone out or quit your job or have any kind of dramatic confrontation. That is definitely not what I'm saying. But if you're unhappy with your life, then something's gotta change. And change always starts with telling yourself the truth. This isn't mine. I've been carrying it anyway because I was afraid of disappointing them. I'm allowed to put this down. This is where real strength begins. We're not replacing toughness, we're completing it. You only have this one life. You deserve to live it for you. If this episode hit home for you, share it with that one person who's always bending over backwards because they think that's what being a good person means. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, I believe in you. See you next time.